Let's talk about everyone's favorite topic when it comes to politics. Money, specifically money in politics. Here to have the conversation in studio, we have one of your candidates running for Indiana's 3rd Congressional District, Grant Bucher. Good morning, Grant.
Good morning, Kayla. Thanks.
We have so much to talk about.
So little time.
First of all, just how's it going? The campaign going?
Yeah, the campaign has been amazing. It's been a wonderful opportunity to get out in communities and just spend time with people, hearing their concerns, and I don't know, just trying to raise up a wise body of citizens to see renewal in our nation.
What are the concerns you're hearing?
Well, money is one of them, right? And then border being typical, cost of living, like people being able to afford living in Northeast Indiana.
To be able to afford a dozen of eggs. Yeah.
One of the most affordable places in the United States, you know, so there's lots of concerns out there, but...
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. The border and money, those would have been the top two that I probably would have picked as well in terms of concerns that I hear from listeners. Money in politics specifically is what I want to focus on. I've been talking a lot about fundraising thresholds as of late because a fundraising threshold was implemented when it comes to this upcoming 3rd District Congressional debate that I myself am moderating, along with a gentleman from Wayne TV and a guy from the Journal-Gazette. It's actually kind of, I think, cool, three local mediums coming together to host a debate. The Mike Down Center for Indiana Politics actually facilitating this debate. But Grant, when we got together, the three of us moderators, we said we wanted to implement a fundraising threshold for a whole litany of reasons, and we can talk about that long list of reasons if you want to, but I would like to get your pulse on it because, unfortunately, Grant, you were, at the time of running the numbers, one of the individuals that did not make the cut. So the four who did, Wendy Davis, Andy Zay, Tim Smith, and Marlon Stutzman, you were left off that list. I'm going to be really transparent in saying you were someone and still are someone I'm excited to always hear from. So where does that put you at, being left out, if you will?
Sure. Being left out of the debate is, obviously, I was hoping that I'd make the threshold, whatever it was going to be, for how you get to participate in that. But I get it. I understand that we've got limited resources in all areas of life, and time, space, money, those are things too. And so I can't say that I faulted anybody for wanting to narrow down the amount of people that they host in the debate. I hoped I would have made the cut, but I certainly didn't in this round.
So. What's your overall vibe, though, when it comes? Because I've received, myself, just a lot of backlash that it shouldn't be about the money. You know, that campaign. I mean, and I do think there's an argument to be made, you know, for fundraising thresholds and against fundraising thresholds. So you as a candidate, what is your thought just in terms of money in American politics?
Sure. I think I share sentiments with a lot of people who are disappointed with the amount of money that is into politics. But the thing I've realized now being on this side of the discussion, being a candidate, is that we people make politicians come to us. We people don't go seek them out. And getting messaging out to voters takes resources. And that is either time or money. Mm-hmm. And some would say that's one and the same. But I think the baseline concern that I have is less about how are people gaining and spending money and more about who are the quality candidates that are out there that you and I are not going to know about unless we seek them out, just given the way advertising stuff goes. And when pondering this question, I had to think of In-N-Out Burger, actually. Are you familiar with In-N-Out Burger?
I am. I've never had a burger.
So, yeah. For those not familiar, it's a fast food restaurant that's out west. It's got a handful of options on the menu. And the first time I went there, I got a plain burger, a fry, and a vanilla shake because that's what the options were for me. It's pretty average by way of a burger. And I went to ask my friends. I was like, so what is all the excitement about with this? And that's when they told me about the secret menu. And so the next time that I went back, I ordered a double-double animal style with fries and a Neapolitan shake. And it blew my world, blew my mind. It was incredible. But getting to my point, as a community, we need to proactively learn about our candidate options rather than just taking the options that are actively laid out in front of us, and then perhaps we'll start considering other things with who's viable candidates in the race. rather than having money be the metric that that is the easiest one to see, if I can say.
Well, I agree with you fundamentally. At the same time, though, we have to be realistic about those two burgers, right? The plain burger or the other, I don't know, fun burger. And if you're going to say, who's going to buy more of those burgers, right? If you're judging on the amount of burgers you're going to buy in terms of financing thresholds, you know, to me, that's, you know, it's kind of like don't hate the player, hate the game kind of thing, at least when it comes to money and politics, right? I mean, we know that's the game.
100%. From a media standpoint, from people who are going to be looking into the candidates, from like from your standpoint, you got so many hours on air or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, to focus on a certain ones that you have a higher probability of winning, because there's a correlation between money and winning in politics.
Right.
I get it. Totally justified.
But you're right. But if you don't know about the secret sauce burger, right, you're feeling like people are missing out. I can, like I said, I think there's an argument to be made on both.
Yeah.
On both sides of the aisle. At the end of the day, you mentioned, you know, that you can. There's a list of all the money that's how it's gained, how it's spent, and what have you. I want to be transparent about that as well, too, Grant. Anyone can find that information.
Sure. Yep. It's all reported to the FEC. We got a report every quarter about who we're getting money from, where it's going to. Yeah, it's all available there for people to view.
That is the one reason I also like the money. And this sounds terrible, but I like to know where our candidates are getting it from. I think that's very telling when you start to learn that kind of information in terms of, let's say, someone like yourself. You're probably not going to take money, I would assume, from a pro-choice PAC, right?
Certainly not.
You're not going to take money from a climate change PAC, right?
Certainly
like,
not.
You get where I'm going with this, right? So I think it is valuable that people do find that information, look up that information. Speaking of, if someone does want to learn more about you and your campaign, Grant, how can they do that?
Yeah, they can check us out at bucherforus.com, BUCHERFORUS.com.
It's Bucher.
Yeah. We're also on Instagram and Facebook.
I want to give you mad props for coming on and having this conversation with me. Because since you essentially were left out, you're one of the four that didn't make the cut, and some of your opponents didn't want to come on and have the conversation about it. So I appreciate it. You let me know you're welcome back anytime.
Hey, appreciate it, Kayla. Thanks so much.
That's Grant Bucher, one of your candidates running for Indiana's 3rd Congressional District. I'm way behind, but I think it was worth it.
Podcasts by Federated Media.